it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. I have invited, well, he's turning out to be quite the regular, but my buddy Pat McShay is going to be a guest today. We're going to discuss Information Overload Volume 4. Pat, welcome back to Power of Prophecy.
Hey, Jerry, it's great to be back.
Now, it seems that people enjoy this program quite a bit. I mean, I know we sell quite a few of the CDs because we don't have a specific topic. You know, last month we talked about the puppetocracy in Ukraine.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know, 3 months in a row now we've done an information overload because, well, there's so much going on that, well, it's hard to just stop on one topic. So.
Right.
So since the last time we visited, we have a new Supreme Court judge. Her name is Ketanji Brown Jackson, I believe is her name. Do you think we're going to recognize the Constitution when this activist gets in there and starts doing her thing?
Well, the scary thing is, Ted Cruz wrote a book about some of these justices and some of the cases that have gone in front of them in recent years. And they've all come down to, you know, one vote winning or losing. So, I mean, you can't count on, you know, the so-called conservative justices to do the right thing. I mean, you know, look at Brett Kavanaugh, for crying out loud. I think he's gone against the conservative viewpoint on just about everything. And then Amy Coney Barrett, she's let us down already in several cases. And of course, you know, this, the new Ketanji Brown couldn't even answer a question during her hearing. What is a woman? She couldn't touch that because that's such a loaded question anymore with the way the Biden administration is pushing this trans agenda and the LGBTQ agenda. Even though, you know, the trans population is under 1% of the population, and they say that the LGBTQ population is around 3%, the Biden administration is spending a lot of their time and our tax dollars in programs for these minority groups, and it's really sickening. Another thing is, I just saw that they're at the University of Pennsylvania. You got to wonder if Joe Biden had something to do with that trans swimmer that just won a national championship. The Chinese government just gave $54 million to the University of Pennsylvania, which is where Joe Biden has an office. Had you heard that?
No, I hadn't.
Yeah. So that's where he's got an office there at the University of Pennsylvania, and he's been a big cheerleader for the trans swimmer. So I'm sure that has a lot to do with it.
I'm sure. I just don't understand that. I did a show last week on Disney and the grooming that they've done for decades. And then I find out that they sent kids to Epstein Island on snorkeling excursions. Did you know that?
No. What was that story again,
I'm not positive all the details, but there was a blurb in an article that I read, and it could have been from one of the Disney cruises, that they stopped at Epstein Island and allowed these kids to snorkel.
I'm sorry. I did see that. Yes. Now, who would have thought that they would be taking these kids by Jeffrey Epstein's island? That's right. No one's talking about that on Fox News, are they?
No, they're not. You know, and then Roy's granddaughter, one of the co-founders of Disney, Walt's big brother, I think.
Yeah.
His granddaughter, Abigail's come out, and she's screaming and hollering and trying to gather. I mean, she's a multi-millionaire, and then some other trans relative came out, and lamestream media is pushing this tranny it factor to no end, and it's nauseating to sane people, and it's vulgarity to Christians.
Well, forcing Christians to go along with, you know, this trans agenda and the LGBTQ plus agenda. You know, this is just like Winston in 1984, where they forced him to say 2 + 2 = 5. It's the same thing. They're forcing people to agree with things that they don't agree with and manipulating the media. We're in very scary times when you can be called a racist or a hater just for believing things that people believed for thousands of years. So you can't even get Ketanji Brown, who is now on the Supreme Court bench, to say what a woman is. She couldn't do it. And boy, that's where we are. And that's the confusion that they want the rest of us to have. So it's really scary.
Very much so. Double-mindedness. It's just, it's everywhere.
Yeah, here's that. China sent $54 million to the University of Pennsylvania. That's where Joe Biden's center, the Biden Center, is located. That's what I was trying to think of.
Okay. Now, it makes sense, because China wants to be a world power, and the only way they're going to get there is to destroy this country. And Biden is their conduit.
Yeah, that's what they're doing in Afghanistan. We were over there fighting the Afghanis. China had people over there that were working the copper mines and some of these other mines. In Africa, China's everywhere there. You may remember the name Patrick Ho from your article on the Biden crime family. Patrick Ho was a guy that was sentenced to prison for 3 years for bribing African officials at the UN. And, you know, that's how China does business. You know, they come in and they bribe officials. Did you see I saw the other day, China now owns $2 billion worth of farmland in the United States. Why are we allowing China to buy up farmland?
Right.
Why are we letting Bill Gates buy any more farmland, for that matter?
You know, China, Gates, well, China, they have, 90% of the pharmaceutical industry now. So if somebody needs penicillin or amoxicillin or a derivative of penicillin, it has to come from China. We know that their quality control is nowhere near as strict as it is here, which is probably why they're able to make it over there.
Yep.
I read, oh man, it's been a year or so ago. Tyson Foods sends chickens over there to be processed, and then they come back here as nuggets. Why?
Well, and at Tyson Foods years ago was involved, Don Tyson, he was involved in the cocaine smuggling that the CIA and Bill Clinton and the Bush family were involved in back in the 80s. Don Tyson, the Tyson company, they have a criminal element there too. Did you see that there is now a grand jury looking into the crimes of the Biden crime family as we speak?
I did, finally. Hunter and James and Valerie and Joe and the big guy.
Yeah.
Hopefully something will come out of it.
Well, I know they just interviewed the woman that the stripper that Hunter had a child with, who's now 3 or 4 years old, I guess. And then that's where this information on Rosemont Seneca sending Metabiota millions of dollars. That's the company that funneled millions of dollars to Peter Daszak's Eco Health Alliance. That's the company that Dr. Fauci used to funnel those millions to the Wuhan lab in China to do gain-of-function research. And that CEO, Nathan Wolf, wrote a book back in 2011 called The Viral Storm, The Dawn of a New Pandemic Age. So this guy not only was involved with the bio labs that they have found in Ukraine, I guess up to 30 different bio labs, but he was also involved in this pandemic agenda that was clearly run by the Gates Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and Anthony Fauci was the point man. And, you know, this, they also have done business, Metabiota with DARPA, who was also involved in developing these so-called COVID-19 vaccines, which, you know, they are not vaccines. They also do business with a CIA front company called AccuTel and Fauci's NIH. And this Wolf character, the CEO of Metabiota, is also on the board of directors of DARPA's Defense Science Research Council. And he's also a pal of Klaus Schwab's over at the World Economic Forum. So he's tied into the Great Reset as well as this pandemic hoax.
You know, the more you dig, the more interconnected the pieces are.
Yeah, these same names keep popping up. It's unreal. And of course, you know, he was great friends with Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein. So it's just unreal.
Oh, yeah. I saw that James, somebody wrote an article, an opinion piece, I think in the Post, New York Post, saying that James better get a lawyer. That's Joe's brother. You know, James is probably as crooked as, oh, the devil's backbone. I mean, he used Joe's name and influence on real estate development in Central America. I think he was involved in a solar venture, energy production venture in Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah. In 2011, James Biden set up a construction company called Hillstone International, and 3 weeks later, James Biden, having had no experience in the construction business, was named an executive vice president of this construction company that the co-owner was a guy named Kevin Justice, who was a Biden family friend. And Kevin Justice and James visited Joe Biden at the White House shortly before this Hillstone Construction Company got a huge government contract to build 100,000 houses in Iraq. And they also, through the years since then, have gotten a number of other additional government contracts through the State Department to build houses in several other countries. So, yeah, here's James Biden, just like Hunter. No experience whatsoever in the oil business, yet he's placed on the board of directors in Ukraine shortly after the violent coup that was funded and put together by Barack Obama and Joe Biden. So, and Frank Biden, the other brother, he was Joe Biden when Joe Biden was made the point man in Costa Rica. Just months after Joe went down there, the U.S. signed a multilateral partnership to reform real estate in Latin America. I don't know exactly what that means. But enter Frank Biden. Frank had always wanted to do a development deal, he said at the time, in the jungles of Costa Rica, including building houses, a golf course, and a casino. And soon after that, Frank got a meeting with the president of Costa Rica and members of the Costa Rican government. And despite his complete lack of experience in that type of development, he inked a deal with the president of Costa Rica. So this is the kind of stuff that the Bidens are involved in. He also got involved with a company called Sun Fund America that was a solar company that was supposed to provide solar power in Costa Rica. Yep. And Obama's administration authorized a $6.5 million taxpayer-backed loan for the project. And Frank later received $47.5 million loan to build a 20-megawatt solar facility in Jamaica. It's good to be related to Joe Biden, I'll tell you.
And you can even marry into it like Howard Krein did. He married Ashley, and look where he's at.
You know, Ashley and her husband, in June of 2011, Joe Biden asked Barack Obama to meet with some company executives from a new company called Startup Health. Well, they didn't even have a website or a business plan yet, but no problem. The meeting took place in the Oval Office. They had pictures taken with the president. And, of course, the guy that ran Startup Health was Ashley Biden's new husband. The Obama administration's health data conference pushed this startup by Ashley Biden and her husband, and they were a brand new company. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Everything Joe Biden has done in his career has been to make money on the side, using his family members to be the point men or the bag men, however you want to put that.
Yep.
Hunter Biden is just a bag man for his father. He even admits that. Remember when he said the big guy gets 10% of everything and I have to send the big guy half the profits on this deal and that deal?
Yep.
Well, the guy that came forward, what was his name? Tony
Bobulinski.
Yeah, Bobulinski, he came forward and he said, hey, the big guy is Joe Biden. I met Joe Biden. He knew all about the deals. And, you know, Ron Klain from the Biden administration was just on one of the Sunday shows saying that Joe didn't know anything about any of these deals. Well, they've got emails and texts proving that he knew about it. And they've got Tony Bobulinski. I guarantee you they've found more people through this grand jury that's been impaneled. But, you know, we still have John Durham out there that is supposedly still looking into some of this stuff. So, you know, maybe they'll get to the bottom of it someday, but I don't know when that's going to happen.
You know, and sadly, the skeptic and the cynic in me doubts that 99% of that investigation's ever going to see the light of day.
Right.
I mean, we had Obama, who was never proven that his birth certificate was actually from Hawaii. They trotted out a fake birth certificate because he said it was.
Fake one had so many points that proved that it was fake.
Yeah.
That they said it was just, you know, unbelievable that, you know, one look at it, they could tell that it was phony. The mainstream media never did talk about any of that.
Oh, no.
So, kind of scary.
Anybody that raised any kind of birther questions was lambasted and lampooned and blacklisted and mocked and all of that. So you've got an illegitimate presidency there. And then you've got, you know, I haven't seen the 80 million people stand up at once and say, yeah, I voted for Biden. For this one, you know, honestly, other than Trump's election, the last two regimes that have been in power are basically illegitimate. So everything that has been enacted under their presidency is in essence, illegal.
Right.
Now, speaking of Obama, did you see he was invited to the White House, first time he's been back since he left after Trump won?
Yeah, it was hilarious watching the media swarm around Obama so lovingly and left Joe. Joe looked like Mr. Magoo, who couldn't find his way out of the bathroom, you know. He was walking in circles, and he didn't know what to do. And finally, some woman came up and took him by the hand and was kind of leading him around, and he didn't look like he even knew where he was.
No, and the reason I brought that up is maybe Klein, the chief of staff for the White House, maybe what he said on Sunday's talk shows was true. Biden doesn't know anything that's going on because his cognitive ability is nil.
Right.
So maybe that's a true statement. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem that the elevator goes all the way to the top floor anymore.
Yeah, I think for sure. I don't know what he knows now, but I'm sure back when he was vice president and taking Hunter along with him on his flights to the Ukraine and to China, you know, and he was not going in any official capacity, which meant that he was going for personal business.
Yep.
So you mean to tell me on this, how long would it take to fly to China, for crying out loud? A day?
18 hours.
You know, that's gotta be a long flight. And they never discussed why Hunter was going along to China. Nothing he says makes any sense. And shortly after he got back from the visit to China was when they first sent him $650,000 that would end up totaling $1.5 billion that they would send to Hunter's company. And he also got an additional $4.8 billion from a Chinese energy company called CEFC. That was a deal that he was working on with Patrick Ho. And the Chinese billionaire that was funding that ended up, after all this fell through, he ended up disappearing. They think he was murdered. Patrick Ho, I think, is still in prison. But Hunter never seems to get in any trouble for any of this stuff. It's just unreal. The guy in Kazakhstan that sent him around $160,000, he was just arrested for treason in Kazakhstan not too long ago, just like 6 months ago. And then you've got the mayor of Moscow, one of the richest men in Russia, whose wife sent Hunter Biden like $2.5 million. And no one's even talking about this stuff. They mention a little bit, but they don't go into any details. And that's, you know, that's not even counting the millions that they got from Burisma Oil Company, from that Igor Kolomoisky, who's one of the richest men and most corrupt men in the Ukraine. It's just unbelievable the level of corruption that's right out in the open, and they just continue to deny their involvement in the criminality. It's scary.
Yeah, and it affected the election, if you want to take it there, because all of lamestream media, other than the New York Post, talked about Hunter's laptop and all of the illicit pictures and the emails detailing the criminality that was going on. They all claimed it was Russian disinformation. But now they're having to about face. Is it because the economy's in a tank? Is it because, you know, somebody finally listened to what the New York Post was saying and had to back up and do some actual digging and actually found the truth? I know the guy that owned the laptop, well, he became the owner of the laptop when Hunter defaulted. He had to move to Sweden, I think.
Yeah, he's afraid for his life. Yeah.
And then we got the FBI covering everything up.
Oh, yeah. And even in the media, they won't even talk about the sexual element. And I'm not talking just about the adult women. There are pictures on his laptop in, you know, a bunch of the pictures where He is naked in a room with girls that look 10 years old.
Mm.
They black out his private parts, but in one picture where they black out his private part, there's a little girl in the picture. She looks like she's 9 or 10 years old at the oldest, and she's wearing a red bustier, black stockings, high heels, and too much makeup. She looks like a 10-year-old prostitute is what she's made up to look like. So what is going on in that picture? But they say that they've dug up 80,000 different pictures, images, videos. Jack Maxey, who used to be a co-host of The War Room with Steve Bannon, he's also, I think, in Sweden right now hiding out because he's received all kinds of threats. He had experts brought in, and they recovered thousands of images and videos and also emails that they previously did not have. So there's even more coming. And Jack Maxey said he's going to get everything out to the public. So who knows? Hopefully he's safe because they definitely don't want that out.
Yeah, they do suicide a lot of people that go against the grain, don't they?
Yeah, but if the FBI and the state of Delaware, he also gave a copy of everything to the Delaware State Police. The FBI's got copies of everything. And why haven't they arrested him on the child porn alone? They also said that there are images on there of him with his 14-year-old niece who is naked, his cousin Caroline, who was under 18 at the time, and his sister, Ashley, is in pictures on his laptop in the nude. So Hunter is a sick guy, no doubt. And I don't know if you've seen any of the pictures of Malia Obama, who they think is Malia Obama. They're now denying that there's a picture on his computer of a credit card with Malia Obama's name on it next to a bunch of cocaine lines on a table in the room where they were at. The girl in the picture, they don't show her face, but they show her from behind, and she's got a birthmark on her upper back thigh that looks exactly like a birthmark that Malia Obama has. And on the bed is a little white dog that looks exactly like the Obama's little white dog. So something weird's going on there too.
Wow. I had not seen that. Well, I'm kind of glad I haven't, but you know, the crime syndicate, you know, we know how bad the Clinton crime family is,
but
the Biden crime family is almost on par. I mean, the tentacles of this regime is far reaching.
You've probably seen the pictures of Chris Coons' daughter leaning away from Joe Biden when they're taking pictures. Well, she has since come out and said that he pinched her nipple.
Oh, my.
And she's talked about this stuff recently because I think she's like 20 in her early 20s now.
Wow.
At the time, she was only like 14 years old.
Yeah, she was a baby.
And he told another, I don't know if it was her or another girl that was 13 or 14 at the time. He looked at her, and you can even hear him say it. He says, "You make me so horny." He says that on the video. I've seen it.
Joe Biden, perv, criminal. Oh, my.
It's just unreal. What we know is true. And these people just continue to get away with everything.
Well, we've covered quite a bit of territory, and we're only halfway done, Pat. So,
wow.
We're going to take a brief pause. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. My guest today is Pat McShay. We've got a whole lot more on the other side. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. Want to tell you about an outstanding book written by Peter Schweitzer entitled Profiles in Corruption. In this book, Mr. Schweitzer offers a deep dive investigation into the private finances and secret deals of some of America's top political leaders. And as usual, he doesn't disappoint. He has never before reported revelations that will uncover corruption and abuse of power, all backed up by a mountain of corporate documents and legal filings from around the globe. Learn about how they're making sweetheart deals, generating side income, bending the law to their own benefits, using legislation to advance their own interests, and much more. Powerful book, Profiles in Corruption. This is a 368-page hardcover book. We're only asking $28 for this book. Please add $5 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $33 for Profiles in Corruption. You can order your copy of this outstanding work by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone us on our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those same charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for this book on the main page. Click on it, submit your information, your address, your charge card, shipping method. We'll get it coming to you. Now, if you want to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. We look forward to hearing from you. We look forward to serving you. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Pat McShay. Pat, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Jerry.
I know that you are banned for life from Twitter. And, well, so was the Babylon Bee. Jack Posobiec from Human Events got suspended. But Elon Musk has been revealed that he owns like 9.2% of the shares of stocks on Twitter, which makes him a majority stockholder. Do you think Elon Musk is playing with these people, or do you think that he is going to clean house and censorship will be non-existent at Twitter?
Well, hopefully he's planning on buying even more stock. They asked him to be on the board of directors, but he found out that if he got on the board, he would be limited in how much more stock he could get, and he would also be limited in his influence over day-to-day operations for some reason. And so he didn't join the board. You know, there's questions now. Is he going to, you know, ask people that have been thrown off of the site, like myself and Donald Trump and the Babylon Bee, and millions of people have been thrown off, I'm sure. And, you know, he should invite all those people back on. And, you know, the question is does he have the authority to do that, owning 9.5%? I'm not sure. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. I don't know what he – is it a diversion? I wonder. I mean, the guy is brilliant in a lot of things, but his motives are not readily published. So I am, for one, hoping that if you or I decide on Twitter that we want to say that Rachel Levine is a man and not be
right,
kicked off Twitter for life, that Things will get back to where we actually have a discourse and not complete discord. So sure. We'll see. I don't know. I just thought it was a funny topic to throw at you, because I know that I went looking for you one time to tag you in a tweet, and Pat McShay was no longer there.
Right. Well, I had several iterations of Pat McShay, and they were all three thrown off of Twitter. So you can't put much up anymore about the vaccines harming people, or you can't put up anything about the pandemic hoax. Just if you don't go along with the approved narrative on everything, you're subject to being kicked off of Twitter. So you can't even cuss on Twitter anymore. People used to cuss on Twitter, and that was okay. But now, yeah, they can't. You can't do much of that anymore either. So it's just ridiculous. It's like Facebook. So hopefully, if he has the ability to allow people that have been thrown off back on, hopefully he'll do that.
Yeah, I'd like to see both sides of the story. When I go researching something, I don't have a predetermined answer. I'm not looking right to further along the main narrative. I'm looking for truth.
Right. And the mainstream media is not where you go first if you want to find what's really going on.
That is a right fact. That's a fact.
You know, I mean, I would not take the word of anybody on any of the networks or cable news for anything. So that's really sad. But, you know, they're putting out so many false narratives. Look at the war in Ukraine. I mean, this so-called massacre in Bucha has already been debunked, and they're just still talking about it every day. So war crimes. Didn't the United States commit war crimes in Iraq? I seem to remember Fallujah being quite the massacre, killed thousands of people there. We blew up a Doctors Without Borders hospital in Afghanistan, even though the hospital had sent the U.S. military their coordinates to make sure that it wasn't bombed. It was still bombed, and they killed a bunch of people. So, you know, we've committed atrocities all over the world, and nothing was ever done about it. But now we're concerned about Ukraine.
Yeah.
It's so phony.
Well, we're concerned because of all the Hunter Biden and the NIH and DARPA and all the others that are linked to these bioweapons factories that have been outed by the Russians. We got truth from the Russians, and we're supposed to dislike that country to no end. But, you know, the idiocracy, that the double-mindedness that's out there, that they're trying to program people's minds into believing, just it's mind-boggling.
Right. And, you know, of course, the UN and the World Economic Forum, they're involved in Ukraine. And the Russians have put together all kinds of evidence of what they were doing in these bio labs. And, you know, the UN won't even look at it. All these countries walk out. They won't even listen to the evidence. And so it's just all being withheld from the people.
Yeah. And we have no viable interest in Ukraine. It affects us nary a whit.
Not one bit. And it's controlled by criminals.
Very much so.
You know, George Soros, Igor Kolomoisky, Viktor Pinchuk. These guys are all involved with the bio labs. They're all in bed with these neo-Nazi groups that even Israel said, oh, they're not bad. They leave us alone.
Right.
It's so ridiculous. It is just the Azov battalion. But that's just one of the the neo-Nazi groups there. There are a number of different ones. So, and they were all, a lot of them were in that, that Mariupol area, which is, you know, what the Russians, they moved out all of them from that Mariupol area. And the Azov battalion has been accused of bombing Ukrainians in that area, and they've been accused of using the citizens of Mariupol as human shields. Yeah. So we're not getting any truth out of Ukraine, and I'm really sick of the media claiming that Zelensky is Churchill in a T-shirt. How ridiculous.
Yeah, when Sean Penn comes on Sean Hannity's show and says that we should take up arms to defend Ukraine, okay, we've got a problem. And truth is the major loser in this deal. And it filters down to our colleges and our high schools. I mean, there's a high school in Rhode Island that is canceling honors courses, unbeknownst to parents, because of racism, right?
Yeah, that the one you're talking about just happened. They said that there weren't enough black students qualifying for the honors program, so they were just going to get rid of it. So the white kids that qualify for it won't have an honors program. They did the same thing in West Virginia at some of the school districts there, and it's starting to become a trend. You know, a bunch of the colleges in California don't require an SAT anymore because they said black students typically didn't do well on the SAT, so they're just going to get rid of it. But this is all so ridiculous, right? If the blacks can't do it, no one can. You know, I'm not a racist, but, you know, this stuff's getting ridiculous. And that's what they want. They want people to be uncomfortable talking about this stuff. And people are afraid of being called a racist.
Well, that's so they call you an anti-Semite to shut you up if you're saying anything against Zionism or the evil that permeates Zionism.
Yeah.
You're racist if you say anything bad about Black Lives Matter. I mean, what, they just bought a $6 million mansion, unbeknownst to everybody, in L.A., and they claim that they're going to use it as a safe space for whatever they're planning. I mean, it's just another...
Yeah, how ridiculous. Not only that, but they paid $6 million for it, but the seller that sold it to them bought it just a couple months before that for $3 million. So what else is going on there? That's a shady deal. The news has reported that they paid $6 million, but they're not getting into anything about how they overpaid for a house by double in just a couple of months. So, you know, have you ever heard of Colin Flaherty?
Yes, he just passed away.
Right. And he was the author of White Girl Bleed a Lot, which was what one of these black girls said after they were arrested. Or she said it on film after they killed this 13-year-old white girl. And he also wrote, Don't Make the Black Kids Angry.
Yep.
And he talks about this stuff that, you know, you are persecuted if you point out the truth. You know, I did an article a few years ago about crime in America, and there was a big crime study done about 10, 12 years ago where they looked at 75 of the biggest counties in America. So, you know, they had all the biggest cities in this study. And what they found was 70% of murders, 70% of robberies, like 67% of all burglaries in those counties were done by black perpetrators. So there's a reason why, you know, when the cops pull over minorities, that they're treated a little different. because unfortunately, and you know, this isn't a racist statement. This is just a fact that blacks are involved in more violent crime than white people. Just like black people are 10 times more likely to attack a white person than the other way around. 10 times more likely. So, you know, there's a reason why these cops handled people differently. White people, on the other hand, who are involved in violent crime, is like 50% lower than black people. So those are just statistics. That's not racist to talk about. And that's what Colin Flaherty talked about in his books. You know, we can't continue to coddle these groups and act as though they aren't responsible for all this crime. Call a spade, if you will. So
right.
People ought to look him up. His videos are on BitChute, and he makes a lot of sense. I was sad to see that he passed away in January.
Yeah, I think cancer got him. You know,
yeah.
I had Colin on the radio to interview him once, and we talked about his book, White Girl Bleed a Lot. And the first question I had to ask him is, are you a racist? And I had done my research. Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson is in L.A. And Tex had Jesse on his program many, many, many years ago, I think early 2000s. And Jesse was fabulous as a guest. But Jesse hosts a radio program in L.A. Jesse Lee Peterson said that what Colin Flaherty said was fact and truth, and he had not a racist bone in his body. And coming from a pastor, a black pastor,
right?
You know, that I knew what the answer was going to be when I asked him, because I had read Jesse Lee's write-up about Colin Flaherty. So, you know,
sure,
it's easy to say racist, racist, racist. You know, we've got, if Black Lives Matter, then why aren't they more concerned about keeping the family intact? BLM, one of their bullet points before it was taken down, was to destroy the black family. They don't want a father.
Yeah, they want to destroy the nuclear family in all races.
In all races. But the problem,
I mean, that's a communist thing that goes back, you know, 100 years.
The problem,
or more, so.
The problem that I see in the black family is when LBJ signed the Civil Rights Act. Before then, the black family was probably stronger as a unit than the whites. But
yes,
all of a sudden, the federal government started paying black women to have babies and for them to be single. Get the dad out of the way. And therein lies the rub when you think about there's no father figure to help raise this child. And mom is
right,
working two or three jobs. If she's working, and you know, if she's got 20 kids from 20 different baby daddies, she's on the public dole that taxpayers are paying her to make babies. And in essence, they have put her on the plantation. They've put her children on the plantation. And the government pays them to stay on this plantation instead of getting them off and independent. I mean, for every Dr. Ben Carson out there, there are 90 that end up in the prison system, or they're dead. If Black Lives Matter, they would worry more about the black-on-black crime than the white-on-black crime, the alleged crimes that whites are perpetrating because, well, they're systemically racist.
Yep. I wrote also in that article about crime in America, and I can't remember the author's name. She used to be on, she shows up on Fox News talking about race and crime. She's written some books. I can't think of her name, but
Sarah or Susan McDonald.
McDonald sounds right. Anyway, I'll try and think of it here. But what she wrote is exactly what you just said. Is, you know, the reason that these kids, the black kids, are you know, going astray and committing all this crime is the fact that, you know, most of them don't have fathers. And she said that from all the kids that she talked to, all the criminals and everything that she's studied, she said that these guys are all not in touch with their fathers and weren't, did not have a male role model, you know, when they were growing up. So, yeah, those policies made in the 60s, it hurt these people more than it helped them, for sure. And trillions of dollars have been spent on black programs and black causes and that sort of thing. So, and now they're talking about spending upwards of 12 to 15 trillion on reparations. So,
yeah, I've read a bunch on that, and they have a committee together, I think in LA or somewhere in California, they have a reparations committee for the state of California to pay reparations. Now, California wasn't even part of the Union during the Civil War, if my history is on point. But
yeah,
they have a committee, and they're arguing among themselves who should get the money. Who should get it first? You know,
yeah,
none of them were slaves. None of their parents were slaves. None of their grandparents were slaves. So this is pouring more money into a pit and just setting it on fire. You know, if you want to help, then get them out of the plantation and get them back in society where they were. I mean, it just, that makes sense to me. And, you know, God doesn't care what color your skin is. It has no bearing on whether you're going to get to heaven. But the plantation that the Democrats have put the black community on is a detriment to the entire country, because ultimately we're all paying, whether we're incarcerating or we're having to supplement funeral costs for murders and overdoses and things of that nature. And and the mental anguish, because, you know, as a human being, we're supposed to care about our neighbor as much as we care about ourselves. So it affects all of us. Now, speaking of neighbors, I want to touch on, before we run out of time, the Oberlin College and the Gibson Bakery fiasco that's going on.
Yeah, that was on appeal after the bakery had won the case. Then they appealed, and it looks like it's going to go to the Supreme Court now, because Oberlin College just absolutely refuses to pay the judgment. And what was that judgment, like $30 million?
Yeah, something like that. So what happened was, Oberlin College and Gibson Bakery have had a relationship for eons. And a student came into the bakery, stole a bottle of wine, and the owner, a relative, a son of the owner, chased the student down, took his fake ID away, took the wine away, and they claimed that that Gibson Bakery was racist. And one of the administrators at Oberlin College put out flyers saying that we need to disassociate with Gibson Bakery because they're racist. They had protests outside. So Gibson Bakery was losing tons of money, and so they sued Oberlin College.
Yeah, they got most of their business from the university students.
Yeah. And the kid that stole the wine admitted, no, they're not racist. Yes, I did steal the wine. But that was beside the point. Now, because he was black and the owners are white, it's racism. And that's the idiocracy that we have today.
You know, that's the problem that we've got. Everything in this country, it's just like the, the June 6th defendants. I mean, they're being accused of all kinds of crazy stuff that just didn't happen. And they're acting like these people were overthrowing the government because they were, walking through the Capitol building. It's just all ridiculous.
Especially after the Capitol Police opened side doors and said, "Come on in."
Right, yeah. right. The woman I was talking to just a minute ago was Heather McDonald.
That's
you got
it.
The McDonald right.
It's yeah. Heather. Yes.
She wrote a book called "The War on the Police," and she said that in 2005, New York City blacks committed 75% of all shootings, 70% of all robberies, and 66% of all felonies, despite composing only 23% of the population. So that's quite a large number from a group that is that small in a city of millions and millions of people.
Yes, very much so. And what, they had the subway shooting yesterday, and they have just apprehended the suspect, a black man that he hates white people. And he's got all kinds of garbage. I mean, he's in the same boat as the Yahoo and Waukesha that drove through killing all the paraders.
Yeah, they're both fans of that black alliance that hates white people. They didn't even call him a black suspect until way later in the day. They did not. Jesse Waters did a segment on that last night that I happened to catch, and it didn't even list if he was white or black in the initial reports, even though everyone knew he was black.
You know, the funny thing is, if a Muslim is involved in some kind of incident like this, or a black is involved in something like this, the race of the suspect is never broadcast. If they're white, because it just furthers the agenda that we have systemic racism, the white people are called out immediately. And facts are facts. That's not a racist comment.
Another statistic that Heather McDonald threw out was 93% of black homicide victims are killed by other blacks.
Yeah.
And blacks commit violent crimes seven to ten times the rate that whites do. But all they can scream about are these criminals that got shot by a cop. And in many cases, black policemen are shooting them as well.
Yeah.
So it's not just the white cops. It's just insane, this whole argument that blacks are just being persecuted for their color. Well, I mean, when they commit that much crime, they are going to get looked at a little stronger, I would think. So, I mean, that's just common sense.
Well, Pat, we have wiped out another hour, brother. Man, I appreciate you coming on. And I always have so much fun just chatting with you. And
well, that went quick, Jerry.
It always does. Man, I'll have you back on. I appreciate you taking the time to spend with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. That was my guest, Pat McShay. I hope you enjoyed our program today. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.